All right, and 2 Corinthians 9 is the scripture that we read for our scripture reading, and it's also where I will be for the message. And let me grab something else. Grab my notes over here. The Lord encouraged me with this passage of scripture as I was reading through it just recently, and many of you probably read through it also, as it was a part of our scripture reading, if you're following that the Bible reading schedule that we handed out toward the beginning of the year. And 2 Corinthians 9, we've already read verses 6 through 11. Let's start with verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 5. And then what we'll do is I'll give you a little bit of an introduction, then we'll pray and we'll get into the message. So 2 Corinthians 9, 1, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready, lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness." All right, let's skip now verses 6 and 7. We've already read those. And look at verse number 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." And I want to preach to you tonight out of that passage of scripture there, really verses 1 through 11, a message that I've entitled, "God is able to make us abound." And I want to encourage you that God is able to make us abound. Now, Paul, the apostle, is writing here to the Corinthian church, and if you know anything about this section of scripture, he's talking about money being given, not to him, but to the work of the Lord and the needs of the saints. And basically, as he's talking to the Corinthian church here, he's reminding them of a couple of things. Number one, that the churches in Macedonia, a different region, had been very generous, and that God had given them great grace in the ability to give lots of money to the work of the Lord, even though they were living in poverty. And then now in chapter number 9, he's talking to the Corinthian church, and he says to them basically this: "Now, I've bragged about you to the churches of Macedonia, that you also were willing to give a lot to the work of the Lord. And I'm about to come with some people from Macedonia, and I want to not be embarrassed when I stand before them and you at the offering that you are going to give." And when he's talking to them about this ability to give this offering toward the work of the Lord, I want to encourage you, even though we didn't read it in our verses, if you'll read the entire section of scripture, you find out he didn't tell them, "Boy, you give every last cent you have, and if you don't, you're in trouble." No, no, no. He was talking to them about this fact that, listen, you need to give according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. And then when you give according to what you have, it's not about God twisting your arm, because God loves a cheerful giver. But if you've purposed in your heart, if God has laid it on your heart that this bit of money that God has given you over here needs to be given to the work of the Lord, and you've promised to give that, then now's the time to come forward and do that. If God's put the desire in your heart, then you need to follow through with it, and God is able to help you with that. That's the gist of this passage of Scripture. Now, I want to bring this message to you this evening, not on finances, but on anything that we would do for the Lord. Because the truth of the matter is, many times when we step out to do something for God, it is easy to have a desire to do it and even talk about doing it. But it's one thing to do that, it's another thing to actually step out and perform the doing of it. And that's where the Apostle Paul was saying to them in verse number 2, "I know the forwardness of your mind." He's saying to them, I know that your mind desired to do it. You've wanted to do this. It's in your heart to do this. And now he says, basically, in verse number 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. So now that you've had the desire, now listen, step out and do it. And I would encourage us tonight, don't let the fear of the unknown stop you from obeying God. Don't let the fear of the unknown keep you from obeying God. If God has laid something on your heart, if he's put something there in front of you, if you've had the desire to do it, and it is of the Lord's will, then listen, step out and get that done. And I'm not saying just, you know, throw caution to the wind and don't pray things through and think things through and get godly counsel. I would never tell you to do that. But I will say this, don't let fear stand in your way. Because many times that will happen, especially modern day Christianity. One of the things that we are lacking in the days and age in which we live is Christians who are willing to step out by faith and do what God has asked them to do. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. I want to give you three examples from Scripture of how God can make something abound to you and to me that we need. And we'll use examples from Scripture. I think you'll get the idea once we get into the message. Let's pray and then we'll do that. Lord, I need your help as I preach your word to your people. Now, Lord, I know that we all struggle with faith. We struggle to put fear aside. But I pray, dear Lord, that tonight you would enable us to see from your word how if you've called us to do something and you've laid something on our heart, then you, Lord, can and will provide the grace that we need. You can make us abound in the areas that are needed to perform the doing of what you've laid on our heart. And Lord, I ask that you would use the message in a mighty way, not for my sake, but for yours. And Lord, I pray that your work would go forward as a result of this message. I ask you to rebuke the wicked one who would try to sow doubts in the minds of your people at the same time that you're sowing faith. And I thank you that you're going to bind him according to your own work and word. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, God is able to make us abound in every good work. First of all, just three examples from Scripture. Number one, God is able to make you abound in courage. God is able to make you abound in courage. Have you ever thought to yourself, boy, I think I would do that for God, whatever it might be. Maybe it's giving financially. Maybe it's witnessing to somebody. Maybe it's stepping out by faith in another area, whatever it might be. You think to yourself, boy, I would do that for God, but I doubt whether or not once I stepped out, I would have the courage to follow through. In other words, I know myself and I know my weakness, and once I'm facing something that's difficult, I think I'll probably back down. Reminds me, for instance, of my father-in-law. A little bit of a side example here, but it reminds me of my father-in-law who grew up in a lost family, did not get saved until he was about 19 years old. And before that, he was a typical, 18, 19-year-old college student in the world system, a philanderer and all the rest, okay? Living an immoral lifestyle, went to the University of Idaho and all of that. But once he got saved, he sold out to the Lord. He surrendered to preach. He went to Hiles Anderson College, and he met my mother-in-law there, and they started dating, and they were getting very serious. And he wanted to propose to her, but instead of proposing to her, he broke up with her. I know, that's what everyone said, aw. And of course, she was all tears, and everybody felt bad. When I asked him about that, he obviously eventually did marry her. But what he told me was this. He said he was afraid that he loved her then, and he could envision himself being married to her then, but he was afraid that after a few years of marriage, he would, you know, get into the mundane nature of marriage and not be able to stick it out and love her anyway through those mundane years and just be a faithful husband, and he would rather break up with her before the marriage than end the marriage later. Until he studied the Word of God and recognized that love comes from God. True love is God's love. It's What our King James Bible uses the word charity. The Greek word behind that word charity is agape. It's a godly love. And he recognized that if God would give him a love for his wife, that it wouldn't matter what he faced and what she faced, that he could stay in love with her all through their years of marriage. And of course, he married her and God came through and God did exactly that. You know, sometimes we're like him in the fact that we think, well, I could step out and I could obey God in that area, but I'm afraid that once I got there, my courage would fail. Well, let me encourage you that God is able to make you abound in courage. And he did that for somebody in Scripture. Turn with me to Judges chapter number 6. Judges chapter number 6. The individual that I'm thinking of here is Gideon. Judges chapter number 6. Just look at what God did for Gideon in Judges 6 and verse 11, where the Bible tells us, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." Not exactly the most bold character we've ever found in Scripture, right? Verse 12, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now, first of all, he's not a man, he's a kid. Secondly, he's not a man of valor, he's hiding. But verse 13, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us, and where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Now notice this, have not I sent thee?" Now you can read on, and I would encourage you to do so, but what you'll find in Gideon's life is that every time he needed courage, God gave him courage, whether it be through the sign of the fleece, which God, by the way, did not scold him for, or maybe it was the dream. Remember when he took a friend with him and they went down by the camp of the Midianites and he heard the Midianite man give a dream to his friend that he had had, and the Midianite recognized that it was Gideon, and that was the courage that he needed. You see, God gave him the courage that he needed at exactly the time he needed it. God was able to make him abound in courage, and God can do the same for you. Don't look at the future and expect what you have today to be enough for the future. God will give you for the day something that is sufficient for that day, including courage. You can obey God. Let me give you a second area where God is able to make you abound. And that is, God is able to make you abound in the words that you need. The words that you need to obey God. Look with me, if you would, at Jeremiah. There's a man of God that God gave exactly what he needed for the time that he needed it. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1 and verse 1. The Bible tells us the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And we'll stop there. You see, Jeremiah, when he was called to obey God, when he was called to step out by faith and do what God had called him to do, he doubted because he felt as if he were just a child, and he even said so. In other words, He was just insufficient to the task. And he cried out to God, and God rebuked him for that. And God said, don't say that I am a child, for you're going to go to everyone that I will send thee, and the words that I give to you, you're going to speak. And God again did something for him like he did with Gideon, and that is he said, basically, I'm the one going with you. And if I'm the one going with you, then don't worry, you will have exactly what you need. And friend, it's the same thing for you and me. God's not concerned necessarily with who you are and your abilities. The question is not, do you have the ability? The question is God calling you to do that? Is that what God would have you do? Because if God would have you do it, then he'll give you exactly what you need at the time that you need it. That's God's nature, and he will do it. And what we see here in the scripture is the Lord reached down and touched Jeremiah's mouth, and God said, I put my words into thy mouth. And friends, I want you to understand, God can do the same thing for you. Maybe you're looking at witnessing to a friend or a neighbor, and you're not sure exactly what to say, or a family member. I would encourage you to open your mouth wide and allow God to fill it. God is able to give you the words that you need. Or, you know, it might be something else. Maybe there's a young person here, and you feel God's call on your life to be in some form of ministry, and you don't feel up to the task. I want you to understand that it's not about whether or not you are up to the task. It is about, or whether or not, God is calling you to do that. That's the issue. Because if God calls, he will enable. Faithful is he which calleth you to, who also will do it. I'm forgetting the words there. But faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it, the word of God tells us. And if God has called us to do something, he will give us the ability to do it. Now look with me at the third area. God is able to make us abound in courage. He's able to make us abound in the words that we need. And God is able to make us abound in provisions. In other words, if we obey God, how are we going to be provided for? And this is an area where probably more than any other, we struggle as modern day Christians. There seems to be a lack of a willingness to trust God in the area of provisions. But friends, I want you to understand God is able to provide. Look with me at 1 Kings chapter 17. There's a passage of scripture that you are, I'm sure, familiar with. But yet these passages of scripture are so important because they increase our faith when we remember what God has done for others. And what God has done for others, he is able to do for you as well. God is able to make you abound in the area of provisions. He's able to provide exactly what you need. We're going to look here in 1 Kings chapter 17 in just a moment, but before we do, one of the things that I will lament just a little bit about my own personal life is I can remember thinking now of the Coox and how they are heading down to take Elizabeth to Bible college, heading down tomorrow. Be in prayer for them, by the way, as they have to travel down to Arkansas. Pray that Elizabeth will be able to understand people down there. They speak a different language than we do. It is Arkansas, after all. Some of my wife's family is from Arkansas. Her sister married a guy from Arkansas, and they speak a little different language down there. But it reminds me of going to Bible college. And, of course, some of our other young people are headed off to college here. Well, one of the things that I lament is maybe it was the foolishness of youth, but I seem to have much more faith back then than I do now. And I remember specifically God laying on my heart that when I needed to go to Bible college, that I needed to go, and I just went. I didn't have basically any money to my name. And did not have a job down there, did not know anybody in the school that I went. Later on, of course, met Nathan's wife, Becky. She was down there at the time. And, of course, met my wife and others. But at the time, I didn't know anybody, didn't have a job. And you know what the funny thing was? God always provided everything I needed. And, of course, then when Rebecca and I got married, my father-in-law was foolish enough, never asked me what my finances were. He probably didn't want to know. And you know what? We got married and we lived in a dump of an apartment. You and Nathan remembers that. We had him over. He remembers. That was a very, in fact, I looked at a picture of it the other day. It was a dump. And our first heating bill, I've told you this before, was $60, and I freaked out because we didn't have $60. And I told Rebecca, we are going to be very cold from now on through the rest of the winter. So at night, we turned the heat off because we could snuggle together. It was good for our newlywed life. And then when we got up in the morning, we turned the heat on, and we both, there was a single floor register, and we stood on that single floor register. Back then, we would both fit on there too. On that single floor register, and we took a shower in the morning because it would heat us up a little bit. But you know what the funny thing is? All that joking aside, God provided for us every step of the way. After we graduated from Bible college, went out to New Mexico and took that church there, and that church in the beginning paid nothing. I took a minimum wage job for part-time, minimum wage job. And Rebecca was pregnant with Daniel at the time, and you know what? God provided every single thing we needed. And nowadays, I find it very hard to step out in faith and do anything. Why is that? Because once you get to be a little bit of in an advanced stage of life to where you start, you don't even have to make a lot of money, but you make enough money to, okay, now we can pay the bills and we're not so tight. We can even set some money aside and things like that. You know what happens? You start to hold on to that a little bit more. And it starts to get a little bit harder to let that go and say, you know what, God's just going to have to provide for me now. But I want all of us to understand that God is able to make us abound even in provisions. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter number 17 and verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You see, God provided for Elijah, didn't he? Why does God include passages of Scripture like that in the Word of God? Why does he do that? Because he wants you and me to learn. The Bible says that these things were written for our learning, so that you and I can take these things and say, if God provided for Elijah, God will provide for me. Now again, don't get me wrong, God does not call us to be lazy. If there is work in front of us, we ought to be people who are hard workers and we ought to work with what's in front of us. We're not talking about that, but we are talking about when there comes a time where God says, this is something that I'm wanting you to do. I want you to step out in faith in this area. And again, it might be finances like it was for the Corinthians, but it might be something much more simple, or it might be something much more difficult. But whatever it is, listen, I want you to understand, God will provide. And you and I need to stop using the provision thing as an excuse and obey God. Because God is able to provide. And friends, I want you to understand that God is able to make you abound. Let's go back as we close to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. We'll look at this one more time, and then we'll close the message. Very simple message this evening, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Let's just read through these verses one more time. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago. Notice this, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything, to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. God is able to make us abound in everything that we need in serving him. Let's pray, and then we'll have a short time of invitation. Dear Lord, I do thank you that you've included in Scripture the narrative of what went on in men, in the life of men like Elijah and Jeremiah and Gideon. Lord, we think of Moses, we think of Abraham, we think of Noah, so many other men and women that you provided for. And Lord, by faith, they took you at your word, they obeyed you, they did what you asked them to do. And Lord, you provided for them. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for sharing those details with us. Now, Lord, would you increase our faith? And would you help us to be obedient? Lord, I submit this, your church, to you. I submit these, your people, to you, to do as you see fit with them. And I thank you that you will. In Jesus' name, amen.